This is the Capital City Recap with Michael Cohen on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
1320 WILS. It is Friday, and it may not be the best weather, but not too bad. Currently 53, getting down to 41 tonight. Tomorrow, high of 66, some thunderstorms expected, but a low of 60, so it's going to be relatively warm. And then Sunday, rain, a high of 73 on Sunday. Taking a look at your WILS traffic right now, everything looks clear. We've got smooth traffic, really all over the Lansing area. So Donald Trump now heading off to a nine-day trip to five countries, a big trip that will probably be quite eventful. So let's talk about what is at stake here. Jim Carafano with us, Vice President of Foreign and Defense Policy Studies at the Heritage Foundation. Jim, thank you for joining us on WILS.
Hey, good to be with you.
Yeah, what do you expect is going to happen? How significant is this trip he's taking?
Well, I think it is very significant. It is substantive. It's just not getting the president abroad. The first two stops in the Middle East really are the most important. The president's knitting together a Middle East strategy to defeat ISIS and Al-Qaeda, put Iran back in the box. He's already met with a number of heads of different countries, and this is really kind of a key part of all that strategy. So that is like really substantive.
Yeah. Now, what's the difference between him going out there versus these leaders coming to see him here in the U.S.?
Well, I mean, he has done both. So he's had Egypt and UAE and Turkey and Jordan here. This is significant in the sense, like, he's really going to the most important countries in the strategy.
Yeah, hey Jim, I was going to say the phone's breaking up a bit. I don't know if sometimes if you move slightly, it can change. Well, let me ask you this, Jim, because obviously President Obama did an overseas trip when he first came into office. What do you think the tone is going to be like with President Trump as compared to President Obama?
Well, like I said, these are very serious meetings. These are the two most important countries in the coalition, and that the fact that he's going there and kind of laying out what the U.S. strategy is for the region, I think that's really to send a powerful message to the countries we're going to be working with in the region and also to Iran.
So he's going to Israel. Do you expect, obviously what's in the news with Israel is that this piece of information was apparently leaked to Russian officials that there was some kind of an ISIS attack in the works, and that was Israeli intelligence that came up with it. Is that going to be an issue, you think?
No, first of all, I think that whole thing was really a one-day story. The focus of the trip is really going to be on the strategic relationship and on the core task of defeating ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Iran. You know, they'll probably say something about Palestinian-Israeli peace process. The president has to do that. It's part of demonstrating that the United States is serious about being partner in the region. The Arab countries expect that, but yeah. I'm not really thinking they're actually going to work on that. They're not going to lay anything out. It's more about the U.S. just making that commitment. The focus is really going to be on, like I said, the core strategic task.
Yeah, when he was running, he said he was going to move the embassy to Jerusalem, the U.S. embassy to Jerusalem. Why do you think he hasn't done that?
Well, look, the reality is every American president has said that. It's official American policy. It's even in U.S. law. He never said when he was going to do it. No other American president has either. Mm-hmm. So the fact is what he said isn't different from what any other American president has said. All the news around it's just kind of made up.
James Carafano with us with the Heritage Foundation. The New York Times is all over. I mean, what they reported this week is that he was actually reluctant to take this trip. He wanted it shortened to 5 days, and he despises traveling far from his personal residences. Do you believe that reporting?
I don't believe anything I read in the New York Times or almost any other press. Look, I live in two worlds. I live in the world where people tweet and report and all kinds of stuff out, and then I live in the world where I actually talk to people who are running our government and people from foreign countries who are dealing with the United States. Mm-hmm. And literally, those are parallel universes. But I'm not even sure they're parallel because I'm not even sure they're headed in the same direction.
Do you think they're watching all these events in D.C. and wondering about President Trump's future?
No. I think actually what I find when I talk to officials and heads of state and you know, government and embassy people is they're focused on kind of what U.S. is going to do and on the serious stuff. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of scratch all this off to domestic politics.
What do you expect in terms of what he's going to do and the message he's going to be sending? How different is it going to be than what we saw from President Obama?
Well, I think it's very different from what Obama did and what Bush did. Obama's attitude toward the region was, let's figure out how we can disengage and withdraw, you know, make the Iranians happy and then just walk away. Of course, that was wildly unsuccessful. You know, Bush was exactly the opposite. Bush was, you know, nobody should be attacking us. We're the world's lone superpower. We're the strongest country in the world. Let's go out and fix all these problems. So they went into the region with a kind of a very muscular approach of actually kind of fixing things one for all.
Mm-hmm.
Obama's neither of those. You know, his task is
you're talking about defeat ISIS. Trump, right?
Yeah, Trump's task is defeat ISIS and Al-Qaeda, put Iran back in the box. He's not looking to solve the world's problems, not looking to do regime change, not looking to do nation building. He's looking to remove the threats to U.S. vital interests, which in his speech, I don't think his speech is about Islam. I think it's about how we're going to deal with the Islamic world. And his speech is basically, look, what I want to do in the region is the same thing you guys want. Nobody wants ISIS and Al-Qaeda. Nobody wants Iran running wild. We have common goals here, and that's what we should focus on.
Jim Carafano with us with the Heritage Foundation right here on 1320 WILS. So this fight, well, it's a historic fight between Saudi Arabia and Iran. Do you think he'll be clarifying our position on that?
Yeah, I think Iran's on the black hat, and all the Arab states in Israel, they're the white hat. I think it's just that simple.
Jim, let me ask you this, because we just earlier in the program, we had this former Sharia lawyer from Iran. He came to the U.S. He said that he has no doubt that Iran is going to become nuclear. That's where they're heading. That's their plan, and they're not going to be able to be stopped. Do you believe that yourself?
Well, I do agree that the regime that's in Iran thinks that having nuclear weapons is fundamental to the regime's survival, and at some point they're going to get them. That's their plan. Now, there's a little difference between them and North Korea. North Korea is never going to get those nukes because it's essential to their survival. But I don't think the Iranian regime is there forever. I'm not talking about regime change or invading it or attacking him. I just think the people of Iran at some point might just get rid of these yahoos. So the difference between containing Iran and slowing down their nuclear program and containing North Korea, there can be very different end states. If Iran, at the end of the day, people just may turn their back on this regime and turn their back on that program. In the meantime, what you want to do is slow it as much as you can and protect the region from Iranian influence.
Mm-hmm. Is it worth going to war to stop them from becoming nuclear?
No, it's not. Mm-hmm. But look, wars are the thing of last resort. They deliver very uncertain results and have all kinds of risks. And if you can achieve your goal without going to war, then you're an idiot to go to war. We can achieve our goals in the Middle East and in Asia without going to war with anybody. And so that's what we should do. And fundamentally, I think that's what the Trump strategy is designed to do. I actually think it is a realistic alternative to what Obama did and a realistic alternative to what Bush did. And the reason he's doing it is not because Trump's smarter than them. It's because, we've tried everything else.
Right.
This is a logical, rational alternative. This is what any president should have been doing.
Jim Carafano with us from the Heritage Foundation right here on WILS. So he's going to Italy, the Vatican, and also Belgium. What kind of a reception do you think he'll get in Europe?
Look, I think, I don't know on the street. I mean, in the official government halls and everything, it'll be very positive. The G7 is basically just a nothing burger. It's a photo op. What's important there are the bilateral visits he's going to have. He really values those. Meeting leaders face-to-face, those are very good. He gets a lot out of them, so that's great.
Mm-hmm.
Meeting the Pope, he was going to meet the Pope sometime. They just thought it looked cute on this trip that, he went to the home of the Jewish, the Islam, and the Christian religions all on the same trip, that's all. And NATO, it'll be a very positive meeting because everybody wants to demonstrate, including the U.S., that NATO is a strong and resourceful alliance.
What kind of coverage do you think we'll see from the press as this trip unfolds?
Well, I mean, not to their credit, but normally if there's something you can stage manage and control, it's a foreign trip. So the administration is definitely going to try to put its best face on. But the reality is we live in a hyper-partisan environment. Everybody is looking every day for a story to have people throw up their hands and scream at the moon. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to stop because President Trump's in Europe. And honestly, between now and the midterm elections, I don't think it'll ever stop. It doesn't matter what Trump does. He could sit at home and eat crackers. People would find something to complain about.
Yeah, the press already focused on what he said about NATO, about having them pay their fair share into NATO, and also his back and forth with the Pope. They're saying, look at all this tension he's heading into. Do you think any of that will be there?
Well, the hilarious thing about NATO is NATO countries are seriously looking at paying their fair share. I was just with a delegation from one country, and all they could do is say, we've got a path to 2% of GDP on defense. I'm just talking to the South Koreans, and they said, we're not only paying 2% of GDP on our defense. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to 3.5%. We're going to be better than NATO. So people are actually, the irony is, everybody criticizes Trump, but countries are actually responding to that call because they recognize, not because Trump's making it, but that it's a serious statement of commitment for self-defense. And if you're deterring the Russians or the Chinese or the North Koreans, that they can count and they're paying attention to that kind of stuff. So actually, people are listening to Trump.
I need to, one last thing, Jimmy. Has anything, because with this whole Russia connection with the administration, and now we have a special counsel looking into this, has any of this, any part of it, when you're looking at the story, bothered you in terms of maybe there's a problem here?
Well, other than there's a lot of, very jumping to conclusions. Look, I don't know what I don't know. Right. I wasn't on the campaign, but I did campaign brief. I did briefings for candidates throughout. I did serve on the transition team. I know a lot of people that are in the government. I've never seen anything that suggests that there was any collusion. I have never talked to anyone who thinks that that's a real story. So, look, I can't tell you what I don't know.
Yeah.
All I can say is from my vast experience, I haven't seen anything real there.
During the transition, was there any discussion about, wow, this could turn into a problem for us, whether it's true or not, that this could be a major focus?
No, because what we focused on in the transition is what did the president need to do to govern? And having worked on both the foreign policy and the domestic side, I can tell you, there was never any discussion in the transition about we have to be soft on the Russians or, we have to be weak on NATO. I mean, there was never any of that kind of talk.
Jim Carafano, Vice President of Foreign and Defense Policy Studies at the Heritage Foundation, right here on 1320 WILS. Thank you, Jim.
All right. Good talking to you.
Enjoy this.